Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Glenn Moberg, and today on Route 51, we're not asking the musical question posed by the group Los Lobos on their hit record, Will the Wolf Survive? But instead the question, are wolves surviving too well in Wisconsin? And if so, what do we do about it? Back in the 90s, the Department of Natural Resources set a target population of 350 wolves for the state, not including tribal lands. And today, the estimate is a population of at least 800 wolves, with wolf packs expanding south into more densely populated parts of the state. Complaints are growing from cattlemen, farmers, ranchers, pet owners, and hunters. Just yesterday, the U.S. Department of the Interior announced a proposal to delist gray wolf populations in the western Great Lakes from the endangered species list. Secretary Ken Salazar said, quote, "The recovery of the gray wolf is another success story of the Endangered Species Act, requiring years of work by scientists, wildlife managers, and our state, tribal, and stakeholder partners to bring wolf populations back to healthy levels. As we begin a 60-day comment period on the proposal to delist gray wolves, we are joined here in our Wisconsin Public Radio studio by mammalian ecologist Adrian Wideven of the DNR. He is the man who is in charge of Wisconsin's wolf management program. This is an emotional topic. We know you've got opinions and questions, and we invite you to call us 1-800-780-9742, and we will try to get as many calls as we can on the air today. Adrian, what does it mean if the Department of the Interior and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service take the wolf off the endangered species list?
Well, this is something we've been hoping for a long time, Glenn, and this would mean that the management authority goes back to the states and to the tribes. That means we can have a much more flexible management of the state wolf population, which means we can have better control on problem wolves, and the population probably would level down to lower numbers because we'd be controlling wolves in areas where they're causing these kind of problems.
We have started a 60-day comment period. What does that mean, and how does it work?
Well, during this period, anybody who has opinions on the delisting of wolves by the federal government can send in their comments to the federal government. They have a website with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and there will be a public hearing held on the 18th of this month in May in Ashland. This will be the only public hearing on the delisting rule within the region, and it'll start a public meeting or a public information meeting starting about 6 o'clock. And that will last till about 7:15, and then the actual hearing itself will start at 7:30 p.m. and last till about 9 o'clock. So anybody who wants to comment on this rule can either comment directly to the Fish and Wildlife Service on their website or go to this public hearing.
And give us the website again.
Let me grab that quick. The website is http://www.fws.gov/midwest/wolf/.
Okay, www.fws.gov/midwest/wolf. If you want to comment on the proposal to delist wolves, take them off of the endangered species list. Now, assuming that this happens, and they at least propose doing this, do you expect a challenge to the delisting proposal from a group like the Humane Society of the United States, which has challenged them before, the Sierra Club, or some other group?
I expect we probably will get challenges. The last two times that we were delisted in our region, we did get challenges, and hopefully the rule is strong enough so it'd be able to withstand the challenge.
What do you say to people, like members of these groups, who argue that it's too early to take wolves off the list, that they may have recovered in Wisconsin, but we need to expand their population to other states as well. And the way to do that is to have large populations in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Minnesota.
Well, I would say that to hold up delisting within a region where they've recovered doesn't really benefit the species. And the kind of management that we're going to be doing in Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota is not going to be suppressing the wolf population. If there are areas of suitable habitat within the dispersal range of the wolves that occur in our area, they're still going to be able to travel to those places. So removing federal listing is not going to be causing this population to go to very low numbers. There's a healthy population. If there are areas of suitable habitat, there are wolves from this region that will eventually settle into those areas.
Is 800 wolves an accurate estimate right now in from your point of view, or is that maybe on the low end of things?
Well, it's our minimum count. It's what we were able to actually count in the winter, and the range was 800 to 860, and that's our preliminary number. We're still going through all the surveys and fine-tuning the count, but that would be the count in mid-late winter, and it's a large number of animals. It's the largest number of wolves we've ever counted in the state, so it's probably more wolves than existed since the 1800s. Now, that's the winter count. In the spring, the packs have their pups, and that population probably doubles for a short time.
We could have 1,600 wolves in the state.
We could, but half of those are small pups living inside of dens, and half of those probably will never survive to adulthood, or only two-thirds will survive to adulthood.
You're in charge of the state wolf management program. How did we end up with 800 wolves when your agency set a target limit of 350 animals?
Well, we set that target a couple different things based on what our estimates were of carrying capacity back in the 1990s. We set it with the intent that at the end of the 1990s, early 2000s, the federal government was going to be delisting wolves, and at the time there were indications that was going to happen as early as 2000. But unfortunately, delisting took until 2007, remained in place for 19 months, and then we lost it for almost a year. We were delisted for 2 months, and now we've been on the list ever since that time. So the opportunity to manage toward a specific number really hasn't existed during most of the time period since we set that goal. We set that goal at a time we had less than 200 wolves in Wisconsin, and we had anticipated if we would have had the delisting right away and had management authority, and the population would have grown more slowly and perhaps leveled off at 350 or somewhere close to it. But we didn't have that management authority.
So you're saying that your hands were tied because the animals were never delisted?
That's right. We had very limited authority to manage the population.
Do you still like the 350 number?
Well, we'll be looking at that again. We're working on updating our wolf management plan, and after the delisting process is completed, we'll go through a new plan development, and everything within the plan will be reexamined, including the population management goal. If we are talking about 350 when we're coming up from 200, it's one thing, but when you're at 800-some animals, to push back down to 350 may be a difficult thing to do, logistically difficult, and we may have to look at maybe another population, a slightly higher population goal, or the possibility of not having a population goal but manage based on levels of depredation problems, levels of problems that population is experiencing or showing. And whether there are harvestable surplus in the population, then we could consider something like a public harvest. But the focus would be on managing for the problems less than toward a specific number.
So you could envision maybe a hunting season or a trapping season?
That's one of the things that we'll be looking at in the new version of our plan is including some of the language of what a public hunting, public trapping season might consist of.
Adrian Wideven is a mammalian ecologist with the state DNR. He is the head of the state's wolf management program. As you just heard, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is looking at delisting wolves. We have 800 or more of them in the state right now, and the original goal was 350 animals. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. If you want to weigh in, we have phone lines open for you. I know that this is an emotional topic for a lot of people, and I want to get to as many calls as we can. 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. And let's go to Tom in northern Wisconsin. Tom, you're on Route 51.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I feel like I'm a silent majority up here. I'm a farmer, and I've had some issues and I've had some problems. And can you still hear me, please?
Yes, we're listening to you.
Okay, I'm sorry. I got beef cattle, and I decided now with some of the problems that I had, I'm going to sell the herd. I'm getting older. It's hard for me. I feel we don't have a lot of help on these issues. And even if they are delisted, I'm within 6 miles of an Indian reservation, so they're going to have priority over as to whatever happens. So, you know, you just get to the point where you just kind of give in and you give up. And I'm going to sell the herd this fall and just kind of get out of it. It'll be one less worry for me. And I guess that's my comment. Go ahead.
Sorry to hear that. Give us some stories? Be specific. How has the wolf population affected your herd and affected your livelihood?
Well, when you have a wolf kill, it's got to be pretty well documented as far as any scat, any wolf here. I'm not always there. I can't babysit the herd all night long, usually when it happens. I've had some kills. They've came out, and they said it was coyotes. Maybe it was. I've got wolves passing through here. I've got some neighbors that had some wolf kills in their beef cattle. And I think I'm right on this, that they're going to quit paying any losses if this does get delisted, or maybe even before it does get delisted as far as any animal losses. And I can't afford to take a $1,000 hit on these animals if I can't get it, you know, born in the spring. You know, I guess I'm just disgusted, and I've just kind of had it, and it's going to be a long time to get this population down. And it's high right now. He even said short time ago that, you know, we could have another third or another half again, as much as what we got. And like I said, the thing that's holding me right now is within this Indian reservation jurisdiction. And I'm sorry, but I'm going to call her quits.
Okay, sorry to hear that. Adrian Weideman?
I'm sorry to hear that, too, and we hate to see farmers go out of business. They certainly play important roles in providing food for our economy, for our nation. Just one thing I wanted to comment on right away is that there are no plans to quit the payment program. The payment program from the DNR has nothing to do with federal listing. It's based on a state, that's a state decision to pay for wolves and the damage they cause. So that's not tied to federal listing. And regardless of how they're listed by the federal government, the state will continue a payment program for livestock losses. As far as comments about, we do involve tribal conservation biologists when we have depredations within 6 miles of reservations, because the tribes have a lot of concerns about impacts of any activities that would eliminate packs from their reservation. But the tribes have been very open to allowing controls in those situations when it's been verified that depredations have been caused by wolves. And we have removed wolves within those 6 mile perimeters of reservations when we had management authority to remove wolves. So we will continue to remove those problem wolves. We do have to have all of our depredations verified before we do any control actions, before we pay for those. And there are cases where other predators do kill wolves or kill livestock. Coyotes are a frequent one. Occasionally bears kill livestock. There is a payment program for bears, but there isn't anything for coyotes.
Maybe there should be.
Well, that's another, I guess, discussion, too.
Tom, let me ask you a question. Just having wolves near your property, does that affect the herd, even if individual animals aren't taken out and killed by them?
Yeah, they get pretty excited. I got part of a pasture where they won't even go into any time anymore. They always kind of make sure they're home at night. You can just kind of tell. They get, you know... I've actually had heard of situations where farmers' cows are just bawling in the middle of the night that the wolf packs are around and the cows just get so wound up. And sure, of course, I mean, you want contented animals. I mean, that's how we get weight gains, and cows are happy, farmers happy. So, yeah, it's an issue. And like I said, I think I can't say we're a silent majority, because there's hardly any farmers left. And I, our beef herd nationwide is down the lowest level since I think the early 60s or late 50s. That's one of the reasons the price of beef is so high right now. And I think there's just a lot of older farmers, and I think a lot of this wool thing, you know, there's a little easier way of making a living than some of the stuff that I have to go through, and especially when you got snow and rain issues that you can't do nothing about. And now a wolf issue I can't do nothing about, and, of course, prices and everything else. Well, I don't want to cry to you guys, but I've been doing it for so many years, you just kind of throw in the towel.
You know, being a farmer is I guess, hard enough as it is.
Exactly.
Tom, thanks so much for the phone call. We appreciate it, and good luck to you.
Thanks for listening.
1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to talk to Adrian Weideven, who's in charge of the State Wolf Management Program for the DNR. Our lines are wide open. I'm Glenn Mobrick. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
You know I'm a howling wolf.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
I'm Glenn Mobrick. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. Our guest, Adrian Weideven of the Department of Natural Resources. We are looking at the state's wolf population, which stands right now at 800 animals, even though the target was 350. 1-800-780-9742. Let's go to Paul in Stevens
Point. In the wild
Point.
In Wisconsin, and we're going after this.
Paul,
yep.
We kind of clipped you here. Can you start your comments over again?
Okay, well, I basically have a question of just a practical assessment of the wolf pack numbers, and that is most of us see thousands of roadside deer kills from automobiles, and we've been told that this year was less than before, but I see them countless times, and I'll start worrying about wolf numbers being markedly excessive when I start seeing wolf packs at night feeding off of these dead deer, and I think the vast majority of us have never seen even a wild bear, yet we have thousands of bears, more than we do wolves. I know they hibernate in winter, but I think we have such emotion against this predator that and a kind of almost selfish quality to some hunting. For example, on PBS, the bear hunter who's allowed to have radio collars on his dog pack. He can have six dogs. He can move his vehicle from site to site with a motorized vehicle to move his dog pack. And he gets upset that some dog that he sends out into the woods is attacked by supposedly a wolf while he wants to kill a bear. I couldn't believe the emotion in that example on public TV. And I'm voting for saying that of course, occasional accidents happen with wild animals, but if we really want to have wilderness, we have to find a balance.
Are you saying that we shouldn't have any limits at all on the number of wolves in the state?
I'm not saying that we do, but obviously they increase their numbers themselves. We know the studies on Isle Royale maintained the wolf population in terms of the amounts that would survive on an island like that. And what we're seeing is an expansion into areas that wolves are making a comeback in. We're recognizing that we probably have a larger bear population than we thought. And I think that to some degree we need to give some allowance for this the wolf packs to find their proper numbers.
Paul, let me have Adrian Weideven weigh in on your comments.
Sure. And there certainly are places where wolves are very suitable, where we've got wild habitat, where we should allow wolf populations to fluctuate more naturally. Unfortunately, wolves are apex predators, which means that they kill the largest herbivores on the landscape, and that's part of what supports their carrying capacity. And when the largest herbivores on the landscape includes cattle and sheep and occasionally dogs, that creates major problems for wolves, so, and for us having wolves. So I think we have to strike a balance between allowing wolves to fluctuate and exist in healthy populations in areas of wild habitat, but when they start spreading into more developed landscapes where the land is devoted to agricultural production, we need to keep stricter controls on that wolf population.
Paul, thanks so much for the comment. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
How has the population expanded, Adrian Weideman? What is their southernmost point now?
We have packs as far south as just south of the Nisida National Wildlife Refuge and the southern parts of Fort McCoy over by the Tomah-Sparta area. Individual wolves have traveled to the southern parts of Wisconsin, and we've had a wolf from the central part of Wisconsin that traveled to eastern Indiana some years ago. We had a wolf from northern Wisconsin and western part of UP that's living in the Ironwood, Michigan area and Mercer, Wisconsin area that traveled all the way to north central Missouri. So we know individual wolves can travel very long distances, but actual packs, the most southern would be at Fort McCoy and Nisida.
How close are packs now to big population centers? Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, Appleton, Wausau?
Wausau, we do probably have packs just to the northwest of us in western Lincoln County. The Mead Wildlife Area to the southwest of Wausau has one or two packs on it, so they're not too far away, within 20 miles, 15, 20 miles of the area.
Adrian Weideman commenting on Wisconsin's wolf population, 800 animals. The target was 350. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-780-9742. More Route 51 after this news.
Who said I see walking in these woods? Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want.
Stories of the big bad wolf and the fear of wolves are a big part of our history and culture, reflected in our shared stories, in fairy tales like Little Red Riding Hood, and in popular culture. I'm Glenn Mobrick, and today on Route 51, we look at the efforts to reestablish a viable wolf population in Wisconsin, the opposition to it, and the fact that today many are saying we are being overrun with wolves, with estimates of as many as 800 animals in the state, even though we set a target population limit of 350 animals. Our guest today is Adrian Weideman, mammalian ecologist with the Department of Natural Resources and the man who heads up the state's wolf management program. As always, we want to hear from you. Our lines are full right now, but when somebody drops off, you can try at 1-800-780-9742. We're going now to Lori Grosskopf. Am I pronouncing your last name correctly?
Yes, that's right.
Lori is a citizen activist who has worked in order to get some controls on the wolf population in Wisconsin. Lori, you're on with Adrian Weideman.
Hi, Lori.
Yes, I'd just like to make three major points that need to happen. First, the delisting needs to happen like it did in the western states. And I've talked to people out west and asked them, how did you get this accomplished and why isn't Wisconsin already delisted? And basically they all said the same thing. Our wildlife officials have not worked proactively to make it happen. The only reason that the western states were put back on the endangered species list was because Wyoming's plan was never accepted. It was too radical. And now the federal government has passed legislation to exempt wolves from the Endangered Species Act in the western states. There's also been similar legislation that's starting its way through Congress for the Midwest states. That's House Resolution 838. So either through federal action or through delisting without any court challenges, we need to get them off the list. The second thing is we need to have a new wolf management plan. Mr. Weideman started working on a wolf management plan in June of 2009. He announced he would increase the population goals. Nothing has happened with that yet, and now he says we're going to have to wait till after delisting is complete. The western states were accepted as delisted with population management controls. I do want to stress that depredation controls are not population controls. And if you look in past progress reports, you'll see that the depredation controls applied are somewhat ineffective, and also they were never meant to control the population. I've worked with 18 county boards and many, many individuals in those counties and organizations, and 18 county boards have passed a resolution to have 350 or 350 or less wolves in the plan and to include population controls in the plan. This is also the official position of the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, the Wisconsin Farm Bureau, and was overwhelmingly approved by the Conservation Congress in April. The third thing is to improve the public information, and that would be to let the public know about all depredations and all threats to public safety and establish warning zones around each pack that's responsible for those. So those are just a few of the major things that need to happen, I believe.
Lori, thanks so much for your comments. Let's give Adrian a chance to respond to them.
Well, as far as the Western states, I mean, that wasn't that was legislation. That means it's done by Congress. It's not done by the wildlife biologists. I don't have the authority to pass legislation. That has to be done by our legislators. So that's why they got delisted immediately by their legislators, who have added it as part of the budget bill. As far as management plan, the depredation control is one of the tools that will reduce numbers of wolves depending on how many animals are removed. Any management control is based on numbers of wolves that are dying, and depending on the management, whether it's depredation control, whether it's hunting season, whether it's some kind of proactive controls, anything that leads to death of wolves eventually is what will control the population. We haven't had the flexibility in the rules to allow more flexible management of our wolves, and we've had only 19 months when we were able to have fairly flexible wolf management, and that was only the reactive type depredation controls, just killing those wolves coming directly to the farmlands. We are just starting to get into more proactive controls where we're allowing government trappers to reduce packs within areas where they're causing problems, issuing permits to landowners. We're planning to institute a volunteer trapper program to help with reducing abundance of wolves in problem areas. All of those things will lead to reduction of wolves in those areas.
And what about the third point, which is that we need more information about individual problems when they occur?
Well, we've been working at that, and we do have every depredation that occurs in the state is listed on our websites. We have we just updated a table that shows every depredation since the 1st of January through the end of April, and every complaint that turned out to be something else, every human safety situation. We have a map that shows where those are located. We have notifications of depredations when they're occurring on hunting dogs that go out immediately because hunters are coming from all over the state and need to be notified when these are occurring if they're going into an area where they weren't aware that there's depredations occurring in that area.
I think Lori's big point is that depredation controls are one thing, but she wants you to set a limit. She wants a maximum limit enforced on the number of wolves in this state.
Well, all of those things lead toward controlling the population, and public harvest will be one of the things we will look at.
Lori, thanks so much for the phone call. I've got a full bank of phone lines now, and I want to get to as many calls as I can. So let's go to Com in Greenwood. Am I pronouncing your name correctly, sir? Com in Grandview, rather.
Oh, Grandview.
Grandview.
That's a lot better than Greenwood.
is your name Com?
Yes.
Okay. Your comments, sir.
Well, I appreciate what we want to do with delisting because that will help us control. But in the process of people owning and having livestock, they probably could take some proactive action. I have a friend who lives about 12 miles south of Ashland. He has sheep. He has not had any wolf predation on his sheep. He also has an alpaca, which is the weirdest thing you ever saw. And he leaves his barn door open. So there are some things that farmers can do to help reduce predation.
Well, what steps is he taking?
He has an alpaca.
An alpaca?
It's a guard animal. Yeah, yeah.
And an open barn door. Yeah. It's as simple as that.
Well, it points to two things, guard animals and confining livestock in barns at night. And that can work for small flocks of sheep. Large herds of cattle spread out on the landscape, it's less suitable.
I understand.
And I know of at least one case where a llama, which is similar to an alpaca, and it's also used as a guard animal, but I know of at least one case where one of those were killed by wolves. So sometimes the guard animals also are killed by wolves.
Com, thanks so much for the phone call.
Okay.
1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to weigh in on this, let's go to Al in Ironwood next. Al, you're on Route 51.
Yes.
You're on the radio, Al.
Okay. I agree with that Mrs. Laurie, she had everything in perspective. I started this program approximately 5 years ago to delist the wolves, and I had 1,200 signatures and such because our deer... 1,200 signatures they sent to the state legislators. They had a meeting up here with it, and they did get two rules set. Now, this is Michigan I'm talking about. And the one rule was to, when they come off an endangered species list, the farmer could shoot the wolf if it's hanging on his livestock. The other rule was if the pet owner, wolf was hanging on a pet, he could shoot it. And that was at the only times. And the wolf also had to be returned to the DNR within 72 hours, I believe, and I got going on this because of our deer herd was depleted in our area, in many areas in the western end. As known to everyone, the western end of the UP, including Ogebic and Onondaga County, are the biggest holders of wolves around. And the biggest one deal here going right now for the last 12 years is John Kosky of Bessemer. He's got a big farm in Matchwood that's about 10 miles east of Berglund, Michigan, on M28. And he's had many cattle. Last year, month of June, he had 37 calves taken, minimal pay from the state. This year, right now, in the last 2.5 weeks, there was 24 calves and 3 cows. Now, the last cow was taken this morning giving birth to a calf. That happened last year also. And that was the biggest thing that's going on right now. And he's got...
Al, thanks so much for the phone call. I want to give Adrian a chance to respond so that we can get as many callers in as possible.
I appreciate it, I think, and there's a lot more to it than that, but go ahead.
And I'm specifically interested in Al's comments about the fact that wolves have depleted the deer population. You hear that from a lot of hunters, especially up in the UP.
And I can't speak that much for the UP, but I know as far as northern Wisconsin, our deer herd is down some, but it's also been due to planning. We've issued a lot of hunter choice permits over the years, a lot of antlers permits. We had an earn a buck program in parts of northern Wisconsin. So our deer herd is down in part by design because our deer herd had been too high and was causing devastating effects on forest regeneration, high levels of road collisions, and for farms in the area, high levels of depredation problems there. So there was need to get the deer herd down to a more healthy level, and I think we're at that point. There may be some areas where it's gotten too far down. Wolves are a factor, but they're certainly not devastating the deer herd, and we wouldn't have this big a wolf population if we had a very low deer herd, because that's what wolves live on as well.
Thank you so much for the phone call, Al. And what I'd like to do right now is play a few comments by George Meyer, who is the head of the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation. He is a former director of the Wisconsin DNR. And he couldn't be on this program live, but he did answer some of my questions regarding his concerns about the size of the wolf population.
Well, the 800 to 900 number is a minimum number. We probably have well over 1,000 wolves in the state. That high a population is having significant problems. There has been a significant increase in the number of livestock and farms that are being impacted by wolves depredating on livestock. Dogs, whether they're pets or hunting dogs in the state, has increased significantly, and it's clearly that the wolf population is over its social carrying capacity at the current time.
What do you think the solution is for that?
There is a need for management and giving the state the authority to reduce the population. There's many ways of doing it, and the department is redoing its wolf management plan right now to, in fact, make sure it's fully up to snuff when the federal government finally delists the wolf from the federal endangered species list.
Do you think that's a foregone conclusion that that's going to happen?
I do believe that the Fish and Wildlife Service will, after the public comment period that's taking place now, will delist the wolf. Now, what I think is going to happen next is a challenge. There are groups like the Humane Society of the U.S., not to be confused with your local Humane Society. They have in the past repeatedly challenged Fish and Wildlife Service in these types of decisions, and it's very likely they will do so again.
Would you, and George Meyer said that he would favor a hunting season or trapping as a means of helping to control the wolf population. And let's play some comments now also from Eric Keynes. He's with the Wisconsin Cattlemen's Association. He's got a ranch up in Rusk County, and he, too, is concerned about the size of Wisconsin's wolf population.
Having wolves on our farm, on our beef operation, is very non-productive. And to give you an example, between the last 8 years, between 2003 and 2010, there were 670 verified wolf complaints. Out of that, those complaints, 380 cattle have been killed, numerous cattle injured. People that have pets and hunting dogs are also concerned, of course. In that same time period, there was 196 dogs killed. So we're very concerned with the increasing problems with wolves as the population continues to escalate here in the state of Wisconsin.
That's Eric Keynes of the Cattlemen's Association. Our guest today, Adrian Weideman,
yes, we are,
who is with the Wisconsin DNR. He runs the state's wolf management program. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network, and we will be back with more of your phone calls right after this short break.
Support for WPR comes from Northwind Renewable Energy, Stevens Point, proud to partner with Focus on Energy in converting the sun's energy into green electricity with photovoltaic systems for business and agriculture. Learn more at northwindre.com.
I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. Our guest, Adrian Weideman, a mammalian ecologist with the Department of Natural Resources, talking about Wisconsin's wolf population. Let's go to Alex in Rhinelander. Alex, you're on Route 51.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I don't want to see the wolves disappear from Wisconsin. I think it's a good sign that we have, you know, a good habitat and wilderness areas. But I saw my first wolf in 1991, and I've seen him probably 20 times since then. And this last weekend, I saw my first elk, and I just want to, Adrian, to comment on the what seems to be our failed elk herd reintroduction. That's about it.
Are you concerned that the wolf population may be hurting the elk population?
Yeah. Yes. Well, wolves and bears, but I think the wolves are a major part of it.
All right, Alex, thanks so much for the phone call. Adrian?
Well, wolves are the number one mortality factor. I think they account for about 30% of elk that have died since elk were reintroduced, but the herd has grown. We started with 25 elk in 1995, and we're up around 150, 160 animals right now. It's slowed down somewhat in recent years, and wolves are a factor there. So have vehicle collisions, so have bears, and there is some experiments going on right now trying to spread that herd out a little bit, but the herd has grown, and the herd was introduced into an area where there were wolves and was able to grow from that area.
Alex, thanks so much for the phone call. And let's go next to, let's see here, we'll go to Roger in Prentice. Roger, you're on Route 51.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks for the phone call.
You bet, man. You know, I look compared bears to wolves. Wolves are carnivores. Bears will eat my alfalfa, and they may take down a calf. But wolves are after red meat. And I'm sorry, I don't agree with a lot of the easygoing stuff that you guys are trying to create, because the day's going to come when some grandma, it could be me, grandpa, has my daughter playing in the backyard. And I've seen a wolf last spring about this time that made my 150-pound dog look small. Someday, some wolf is going to drag some grandkid off the back porch and kill it. And all this soft-talking, we got to do whatever we need to do for, you know, ecology and reintroducing these predators. We eradicated this animal 150 years ago because of what it could do. And I'm sorry, I don't agree with half of what you guys are saying. I raise beef cattle, and I heard the guy that talked earlier about getting out of the business. And I've had coyotes take down calves, and I'm waiting for the day that a wolf takes down my calf.
Roger, I guess
I'm here to say, I don't know what I'll do if I see a wolf taking down one of my calves that I have waited years to breed to get the genetics out of my calves that I need to.
Roger, thanks so much for the phone call. I'm going to give Adrian Whiteven a chance to respond.
All right, and don't cut me off because I'd like to respond.
Well, we are down to our last 2 minutes here.
I know. Okay, then I'll hang up and I'll listen to the response. But I'm telling you, this is wrong. The day's going to come when these wolves, which are predators, are going to kill somebody's grandkid off the back porch, and the world is going to come unglued because we can't figure out how many we're going to let roam in the wild.
All right. Thanks so much for the phone call, Roger.
I appreciate it. Bye.
As far as livestock being attacked by wolves, that's one of the things we'll be able to allow once wolves are delisted, is we can allow farmers to shoot wolves like that, and we can issue permits to farmers that who are having problems so they can shoot wolves at any time coming on their property. So we want to provide tools for farmers to be able to protect themselves. But as far as threats to human beings, there have been 2 cases in the last 100 years of human beings killed by wolves. There have been over 40 cases of people killed by black bears. So black bears probably present as much of a threat as wolves do to human safety.
And Adrian, I want to play something that Roger probably won't want to hear, and that's a cut off of a new movie about the life of Aldo Leopold. It's called Green Fire, and the title comes from the look that Aldo Leopold saw in a dying wolf after he had shot it.
Aldo Leopold's years of working with Midwestern farmers and Southwestern ranchers, foresters and hunters, students and scientists, would slowly change his thinking about our relationship to land. But it was one encounter early in his career with a wolf that would lead him down a dramatically different path.
And it was this experience and this moment, this instant in his life where the green fire shone.
We reached the old wolf in time to watch a fierce green fire dying in her eyes. I was young then and full of trigger itch. I thought that because fewer wolves meant more deer, that no wolves would mean hunter's paradise. But after seeing the green fire die, I sensed that neither the wolf nor the mountain agreed with such a view.
That's a clip from Green Fire, the new movie about Aldo Leopold's life. He, too, believed that we should eradicate all wolves, and that would lead to a hunter's paradise.
Yeah, and he came to regret that, and he spent a lot of his last 2 decades trying to get deer herds under control because they were devastating the forest lands.
And Adrian Weideman, we are out of time.
Thanks, Glenn.
Steve, sorry we couldn't get to your phone call. We tried to get to as many as we could. We do want to thank Adrian Weideman, mammalian ecologist with the DNR and the head of the state's wolf management program. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producers, Jane Ritger and Jacob Clotty. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music tonight by Los Lobos, McKinley Morganfield, Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs, Chester, Arthur Burnett, and Sergei Prokofiev. Next Thursday on Route 51, the subject turns to gun rights and gun control as we cover the legislative hearing on a proposed law that would legalize concealed carry in the state of Wisconsin, a bill proposed by State Senator Pam Galloway of Wausau. That hearing scheduled for most of the day next Thursday, May 12th, right here at the Center for Civic Engagement on the UW Marathon County campus. Thanks again for riding along with us today. I'm Glenn Moberg. Until next week, we're heading out of town.